brought to you by Shut Up and Listen. This is the proper full-on gay podcast. Coming up, Ben and Charlie with me, Jamie, and special guest Paula from LGBT Youth Scotland. Follow us on social media at Proper Full On Gay Podcast. Learn more about the show and our partners at properfullongaypodcast.com. And if you feel like getting in touch, slide into our DMs or pop us an email at properfullongaypodcast@gmail.com. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. You're listening to Proper Full On Gay Podcast, that show where we take inspiration from Heartstopper and use the show to spark conversation about the lives of queer young people and queer culture. I'm Jamie. I use he, him pronouns. And today I'm so excited to welcome back Paula from LGBT Youth Scotland.
Hello.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, it's really nice to be here again.
You were last on the show for episode 6, whenever we talked about coming out and took inspiration from episode 6, which was all about Tara's coming out experience and when Nick started to come out too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was so great to be there and to be able to talk about that pivotal experience in a young LGBT person's life. And I'm excited to be back this week to talk about maybe some of the darker sides of relationships and what that looks like.
Oh, I know. Why don't you tell listeners a bit about yourself and a bit about LGBT Youth Scotland?
My name is Paula Manners. So I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the Digital Youth Work Manager at LGBT Youth Scotland. We are Scotland's national charity for LGBTI young people, and we provide support and group work for young people right across Scotland, from way in the north in Inverness, right down to Dumfries in the south. And the digital service, we also run a live chat service where young people can come online and just talk about anything that's worrying them. And the past life, I used to work in the gender-based violence sector, working with young people who had experienced different kinds of abuse or harm in their lives.
Oh my goodness, and that's so relevant to what we're here to talk about today.
Yeah. So I'm bringing that today.
For sure. In today's episode, we'll be talking about Ben and Charlie's relationship, and in particular about the abusive nature of Ben's behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
Conversations about domestic abuse might be upsetting for some listeners, so we've left some information in show notes just in case. About where you can get support or where you can learn a bit more about that subject if you feel like you'd like to do that. Listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We've got listeners from all over the world and we're so grateful and really humbled that you've chosen to spend some time with us. We'd really appreciate it if you could look down at your phone and hit that subscribe button. It really helps get our name out there and it helps with like all of those algorithms with Apple and Spotify and everything else. It makes a huge difference. If you enjoy the show, don't forget that you can give us a 5-star rating, especially on Apple and Spotify. And you can also follow us on social media at Proper Full On Gay Podcast. And visit our website if you want to learn more about the show or the partners. You can visit the website, which is properfullongaypodcast.com. Should we get stuck into the episode?
Let's do it.
Should we start off by talking about what the different forms of domestic abuse? Like, I know that domestic abuse is quite a big word. It's quite a heavy word.
Absolutely.
And it has so many different meanings. So what is it? What do we mean whenever we say domestic abuse?
I think that is like quite a tricky one to unpack. And one thing that we do know is that young people especially find the term domestic abuse quite difficult to resonate with, because it sounds like something that happens in really adult relationships. Maybe people are married, they've got kids, they definitely live together. So it's actually really helpful to have a conversation to unpack, well, what would that look like? You don't have to be in a serious relationship to experience domestic abuse or intimate partner abuse, whatever like term you prefer to use. And one of the most important things to know is it's not just about physical violence. And although we do see some violence in the show, a lot of people think that's all that domestic abuse can be. But actually, domestic abuse is about a pattern of controlling and coercive behaviour that traps the person and prevents them from leaving the relationship. And that can be done through a whole range of strategies, including physical violence. But a lot of the time, and we see this in the show, it's also about emotional abuse, psychological harm, and other strategies that I hope we'll get the chance to unpick a bit more, to make the person experiencing the abuse feel really worthless and feel like they're not able to leave the relationship.
We do see that with Ben and some of the things that he says, especially like in his nastier moments. He's often he's often very, very quite vicious actually with Charlie, but
absolutely
statements like, who would ever want to go out with you? You know, things like that can be very really impactful on somebody's confidence and their self-esteem and how they feel about themselves.
Cutting, damaging, especially for this young person who's barely just come out, who's barely doesn't know that many other LGBT people, doesn't know like all the options. And that's the case for a lot of LGBT young people, might not know that there's lots of people who would want to be in a relationship with them, and end up with someone who makes them feel so worthless. And that behavior is absolutely designed to trap the person in the relationship because they don't feel like they deserve anything better after a while.
Yeah. Oh, it's very sad.
It's really sad. It's really painful, and it has a long-lasting impact in the lives of people who survived abuse, that feeling of worthlessness and not being worthy. And what I love about the show is that what we see is that Charlie starts to recover a sense of being worthwhile through his relationship with Nick and through being treated with a lot of respect.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Should we talk a bit about some of the key moments for Ben and Charlie?
Let's definitely do that.
We first learn about Ben and Charlie's relationship all the way back in episode one. As we join the Heartstopper universe, Charlie's arriving to school, and as he walks through, he gets a message from Ben about meeting up in the library, and you get this close-up of his eyes and his smile, like he's really excited. This is definitely at this stage of the show, this is a relationship he's excited by and that he wants to be in. They've arranged to meet in the library, but Ben isn't there, and Charlie gets a text saying that they'll catch up at break time instead. And he gets a bit annoyed. We catch a glimpse of Charlie's phone, and if you watch in slow-mo like I did, you can see several of his messages across the Christmas holidays were totally ignored by Ben, which is quite sad too, like to be in that position where you're kind of reaching out to connect with somebody who you think is your boyfriend and they just ignore you is pretty sad.
That can be part of an abuse cycle in a relationship as well, that kind of blowing hot and cold. Most people wouldn't stay in a relationship that's horrible 100% of the time. And actually,
Yeah.
it's the moments, and we see that it's the moments where Ben is really nice to Charlie. That actually is what functions to trap him in the relationship the most, because he's
Yeah, that's
always
right.
remembering that he was nice at that point. So what happens in the cycle then is the victim starts to try and change their own behavior, change who they are, to try
Yeah.
to make the person who's harming them be nice again. And every time they think, actually, maybe that's enough, I'll leave, suddenly we've got a really nice bit again. But actually, the
For
bad bit and the good
sure.
bit are two sides of one coin. You can't have one without the other.
That totally makes sense. And Charlie verbalizes that too in some of his conversations with Mr. Ajay, the teacher, when he says things like, when we're together, it's fine. And it's just whenever we're around other people that it's that Ben changes. But anyway, so later that day they meet in the music room and they both appear to be happy to see each other. Ben compliments Charlie and tells him that he's missed him, and they start to have a little conversation about what happened over Christmas, but Ben really just wants to cut to the chase and he cuts Charlie off with a kiss. And then when the bell rings, he wipes the smile off his face. He's almost grimacing, and he quickly leaves the room, reminding Charlie not to tell anyone. Before Charlie can speak, Ben's gone and the door's closing and he's just left on his own in the room. It's another little sad moment, isn't
Yeah, there's something there as well about the impact of being kept a secret in a relationship and what that feels like and the shame that comes with that. Maybe especially for LGBT people have been told that I'll be with you, but I'm not telling anyone else about it. It feels really
Yeah, for
nasty and just
sure.
horrible, shameful. You're made to be made to feel like you're something to be ashamed of.
Definitely, definitely. The next scenes that we get are juxtaposing how Nick and Ben treat Charlie differently. So the first is a montage of Nick and Charlie passing each other in hallways. I think it was one of the highlights that we picked out whenever I talked about Nick and Charlie with Molly from the
Yes,
Proud Trust.
sure.
We did a Nick and Charlie highlights episode. If you haven't listened to it, head back and have a listen. It's really good. That montage was, I think, one of Molly's highlights. In the book, Charlie questions why Nick's being so nice to him, probably linked back to the bullying that he experienced and also how he's treated by Ben, who totally ignores him. It makes him question what Nick's motives are. At the end of the montage, Charlie and Nick are walking down the hallway together, and Charlie greets Ben as he walks towards him and is surprised whenever Ben challenges him about why he's talking to him when they don't even know each other. And then he starts a conversation with Nick. Again, it's quite a not a sad experience, but you're faced all of a sudden with this juxtapose of those two relationships where Ben is quite mean to Charlie and Nick is so nice to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And like that, I guess that functions to show us as the viewer that a healthy relationship is possible. And hope I think what it also shows Charlie that, and there's that real moment of realizing that somebody might like him just for who he is and might want to be with them. And there's a real just
Yeah.
message of hope there, I think, for anyone who is in a relationship where they're not treated very well, that actually you don't have to. Somebody will, this is not the only relationship that you can be in. Someone will
Yeah.
want to be with you just for you.
For sure. And I think a large part of episode one, especially kind of this part of episode one, is Charlie realizing that how Ben treats him isn't quite right, and it isn't
Yeah.
the way it should be. And his friendship with Nick almost helps him to see that, helps him to identify that. And he sees how Nick treats him. At this stage, Nick is just another straight boy who is
Yes.
like the captain of the rugby team. So it's also refreshing to see a straight character or somebody who thinks he's straight be friends with a
Yes.
queer character and it not threaten his masculinity or threaten his social status in any way. So it's
Absolutely.
another little detail that I really like about that scene. Ben and Charlie meet in the library the next day, and Ben takes Charlie's hand and apologizes for ignoring him. A close-up of there was a blue smiley face that Nick drew on Charlie's hand as part of the montage, and you get this close-up of the smiley face again, inviting the comparison between the two characters, Ben and Nick. Charlie actually looks really uncomfortable as Ben kisses him in the scene. It's like he's almost started to understand that, you know, this isn't where he
Yeah.
wants to be anymore. This isn't a relationship he wants to be in.
And it's another great example of the way that the cycle works, so that you always come back to the nice things.
That's
And
it.
that's what helps you to stay, that's what functions to for you to stay trapped in the relationship. That and that's part of the manipulation, is those moments of being nice to you. And I think for some people, accepting that is actually one of the hardest bits about getting to a place where you can leave that relationship, because you're accepting that the nice bits were also
Yeah.
attempt to manipulate and control you.
Oh, for
And there can be
sure.
grief associated with that. It's a difficult feeling.
Definitely, definitely. You see that with the way that Ben apologizes for ignoring Charlie the day before, clearly something that made Charlie very a bit upset. You know, he
Yeah.
immediately accepts it and apologizes for it. But yeah, you kind of question his motives given how the behavior continues and how repetitive it is.
That's it. There's no actual commitment to changing his behavior, because of course anyone can make a mistake in a relationship. All of us can be guilty of doing something a bit unpleasant to a
Yeah.
partner. But what we see here is a pattern, and that's key to what makes something abusive. It's not about a one-off incident. It's about a repeat pattern of behaviors that function to control and demean another human being.
Oh,
And
for
that's what we see
sure.
here. Ben isn't really apologizing, because he's not really going to stop doing it. Because actually, he's got Charlie right where he wants him, in a place where he can get what he needs, but he doesn't have to tell anyone about it.
Oh, yeah, I know. You're so good at kind of pulling these things out. We're only 10 minutes into this episode, and we've already learned a lot that Ben and Charlie
Yeah,
are
we have.
in this secret relationship. Ben isn't treating Charlie very well. First standing him up in the library and then pretending not to know him. Both in a sense, as you say, forgivable acts, if it wasn't for the repetitiveness of it and how
That's
it
it.
fits into a pattern. Young people wanting to keep a relationship a secret must be quite common, especially in queer relationships. But this seems a little bit different. It feels a little bit different to that.
So we see that, I guess, the contrast between, say, the relationship between Tara and Darcy, where that was also a relationship that was on the down low for a bit, but then they
Yeah.
talk to each other, they negotiate, and then they decide together that they're going to tell people about the relationship in a way that feels comfortable for both of them. Whereas here, there's real inequality in the relationship, where Charlie's openly gay, he's out to people, he wants to be boyfriends, he wants to be able to tell people about it.
Yeah.
And Ben is very much enforcing that secret. And actually, I think it's interesting as well to see the contrast with Charlie and Nick as well, because Nick is also, just exploring his sexuality, just tentatively thinking, maybe I might be bisexual.
Yeah.
And Charlie respects that, but they communicate about it together, and Nick works towards getting to a point where Charlie's not a secret in his life. And it just did the difference with acknowledging that, of course, sometimes you feel really worried and you don't want to talk to people about your first queer relationship because it feels really
Yeah.
vulnerable, is different to using that as a stick to beat the person you're in a relationship with.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And in a way, that's what's being done here. This, you know, Ben's using his the secret relationship as a mechanism for controlling Charlie. It totally comes
Absolutely.
across as that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what it feels like, at least.
Also, it isolates him from his friends as well. Because that's another really common strategy in an abusive relationship, is isolating you from your friends and your family. So because
Yeah.
Charlie's not allowed to tell his friends about it, if his friends knew, his friends would be saying to him, that's actually not cool, that's not great, because it's a secret.
Definitely.
He's got no one else's perspective on the relationship. So the relationship exists in this microcosm of itself with its own rules that Charlie can't sense check with other people. Like, is that cool? Is that all right to speak to me like
Yeah,
that?
definitely 100%. And especially because this is his first relationship. Like at that
Yeah.
stage of your development, you don't really know what relationships are or what they're supposed to be or what they're
No.
supposed to feel like, especially where queer relationships are almost, I don't know whether it's still the case, but back in my day they weren't talked about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was totally taboo.
But I mean, the show, I guess, itself shows that it's a bit better now, doesn't it? Because you've got those
Yeah.
examples there. But yeah, for lots of people historically and currently, if you've never seen a model of like a healthy, happy LGBT relationship, how do you know how to do it?
That's
How do you know
exactly
that it's
it.
possible?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Maybe they're all like that. Poor Charlie doesn't know at this stage. He comes to find out, thankfully.
He does. Oh, it's a beautiful
I
moment.
know. As Charlie leaves school that day, we hear Harry calling out Nick's name, and the camera turns away to focus on Nick catching rogue people in the distance. And coming into focus, you see Ben, who is at the gate kissing his girlfriend. It's like the most painful moment for Charlie. Really sealing the fate for their relationship and causing
Yeah.
Charlie to retreat back into the school, totally out of the blue and very unexpected. I think that was like the icing on the cake for Charlie. It's a step
Yeah.
too far.
It's that level of disrespect that he's being shown in the relationship. And I guess the
Definitely.
contrast with this girl who he kisses out in the open and public, witnessed by people, and Charlie is kind of this dirty little secret that he's
Yeah.
only with in like, you know, illicit encounters, and that he's ashamed of him, whereas he's not ashamed of this girl.
Yeah, definitely. It can't feel very nice. Horrible.
Horrible. I can't, the heart,
Yeah.
you heart him, just goes straight to the feelings, doesn't it? To see him suffering like
Oh,
that and knowing what
definitely
that would feel like.
horrendous. The framing of this shot is really interesting. You've got Charlie with Nick in the distance, a new person that he's developed a really quite a close friendship with. And directly in front of him is Ben, somebody who he thinks of as his boyfriend, but who pretends not to know him. And it's another moment where they're
Yeah.
juxtaposing these two relationships, the two friendships, comparing Nick and Ben. Also symbolic of the journey that Charlie has to go on. He has to get past Ben in order to make it to Nick, which is just a nice little touch in terms of how they weave the story together.
And just reminds us that hope is possible. You don't have, like I said already, you don't have to stay in a horrible relationship. It's not your only possibility. And you do feel that for Charlie, quite an insecure, you know, young man who maybe doesn't think that he's going to be worth having someone who really nurtures him and looks after him and is really proud to be like, this is my boyfriend.
Yeah, for sure.
Isn't he amazing?
Yeah, definitely. Charlie calls off his relationship with Ben via text message that night. Ben doesn't know that Charlie saw him with his girlfriend, and he's quite confused and defensive and tries to deflect it back onto Charlie. You know, he tells Charlie that, don't worry, we're not going to get caught. But actually, that's Ben. That's what Ben's worried about, and he's projecting it back onto him. Seeing Ben with his girlfriend was really the last straw, and it really helped Charlie get across the line in terms of ending that relationship. But why is it that some people decide not to leave or don't feel like they're able to leave?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I always like to turn it on its head and say, isn't it amazing that some people manage to leave an abusive relationship despite all the different things that people who perpetrate abuse in relationships do to try and stop you from getting out? And some of those things we've already touched on that are especially relevant for young people in terms of making you feel worthless so that
Yeah.
you don't actually, but you might have been a confident person when you started the relationship. But actually, your confidence and the way you feel about yourself is slowly ground down to the point that actually you don't feel like you deserve a better relationship, or sometimes even that you'd be able to function out with this one because the perpetrator makes you so dependent on them.
Oh, it's
But also, see,
fascinating.
thing it's horrible
It really
isolating from friends and
is.
family, so the only person you really have in your life is this person. And we don't necessarily see that play out here yet, but that's certainly how it could go on to progress.
Yeah.
Just trying to make sure someone doesn't have other people in their lives, you know, for perhaps more adult people, there can be financial dependence that's
That's
created.
right.
You know, there can be threats hanging over someone. You know, if you leave me, then I'll, you know, do something to harm myself.
Yeah.
I'll do something to harm your children, pets. There's so many things that like function to prevent someone from leaving a relationship. And actually, one of the biggest things is that quite often when someone does for the first time leave an abusive relationship, things do get worse for a while
Yeah.
because the behavior often escalates. So though it's not easy to talk about, like we know that in the UK, two women a week are still killed by a partner or ex-partner. The vast majority of those happen after the relationship is already over because the
Yeah.
person's lost control, so they're doing everything they can try and take that control back.
It's such a sad statistic, isn't
It's horrible. It is horrible, and it is the reality of the world we live in. And at a smaller level, because those are kind of big, scary, like violent reasons that keep someone in an abusive relationship. But if we take this example of someone like Charlie, he might also just be embarrassed. You know, he
it?
might
Yeah.
not want to tell his friends
That's
that he's been in
right.
a relationship with someone who's been horrible to him because he
Yeah.
doesn't think of himself. A lot of the time, people don't think of themselves as someone who would put up with this kind of behavior. So then when it does happen to them, there's all of that shame of having to tell people, actually, this did happen to me. And that's why we all need to approach people with compassion and understand that actually it's hard. It's so hard to leave a relationship like this. And if anyone does manage it, which Charlie does, spoiler, then they've done something really amazing and shown huge amounts of strength to do that.
Yeah, I love that turning it on its head. I think that's great. After Charlie ends the relationship with Ben, he tries to ignore him in school. But Ben's really persistent, and reluctantly, Charlie agrees to meet with him. And they meet in the library after rugby practice one day. And Ben greets Charlie with insults. And then, whenever he reaches out to touch him, Charlie knocks his hand away and tells him not to touch him. They get into an argument, and Charlie expresses his anger and tells Ben how he feels about the way he was treated. And Ben again tries to deflect everything and shift the focus back onto Charlie and accuses him of being angry just because Ben isn't ready to come out yet. Again, it's about that control, isn't it? Using the fact that he's in the closet to try to control and manipulate the situation, even here.
And what we also see here is something which might be familiar to some listeners and not others, and that's something called gaslighting. I don't know if you've heard of that, Jamie, but basically it's a term, it comes from a film, and basically it's about causing someone else to question their sense of reality. So here we know Charlie knows that that's not why he's angry. Ben knows that's why he's not angry. But Ben is saying this is what's happening. And in the long term, what that functions to do is make the victim of the abuse feel like they're losing their minds, that they can't hold on to a sense of what's real or not real. They can't trust their own judgment. It's a very, very dangerous, very toxic behavior. And we see Ben trying to use that. I don't think it quite lands, to be honest, but he's really trying to do it, to try and convince him that that's actually what's going on. Because it's telling someone, you don't know what you think, I know what you think.
Oh, for sure. Definitely, definitely. Their verbal exchange ends with Ben telling Charlie that it's not like anyone else would want to go out with him again. It's that really vicious attack. And he grabs Charlie and pushes him against the wall and forces himself on him, forcibly kisses him. Held against the wall, Charlie cries out for Ben to stop several times. And in moments in between these forced kisses, Ben claims to know that Charlie likes him, and he says that he likes Charlie too, but he just needs time to figure things out. And then the assault ends when Nick arrives, having followed Charlie into the music block, and he pulls Ben off him and tells him to piss off. It's quite a difficult scene to watch, that one.
Very distressing. And what we're seeing here is an example of a sexual assault.
Definitely.
A sexual assault is happening in the context of a relationship or a previous relationship. And you know, so much of the sexual abuse that happens in the context of partners or ex-partners. And it's really important that we recognize that this kind of forced kissing is part of sexual violence. It's unwanted touching and it causes the person experiencing it to feel violated. But again, we also see this gaslighting happening again, because not only is Ben doing this, he's also saying, I know you liked that.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's the bit that is so psychologically harmful, because it's causing Charlie to question what's happening in his own body and
Yeah,
what he's feeling.
definitely, definitely. And also that acknowledgement that, he's telling Charlie that he likes Charlie too. It's that cycle again of where he compliments him and says, I really like you and I just need more time. It's like that trying to control the situation again. It's terrible.
And really, really psychologically manipulative, because that is in some ways what Charlie's been looking for. He's been looking to know that he's loved, he's cared for, and you know that he's, you know, good enough to be taken out in public. And it's almost like Ben's kind of teasing him with the possibility that that could happen in the future. I'm just working on it. I'm just working on it. But he's never
Definitely.
getting there, because he's got absolutely no intention of working towards that point. He's just using it as a means to try and trap Charlie. And again, you're seeing this here, that after Charlie ends the relationship, the behavior escalates
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
into sexual assault because he's trying to pull him back.
Yeah,
because he's losing control.
exactly. That's exactly what it is. At the end, after Ben heads off, Charlie immediately asks Nick how much he heard and then apologizes for what happened. He actually apologizes to Nick for what happened. It's totally heartbreaking in a way, you know, that he's embarrassed by it
Oh,
and that he's apologizing for it.
absolutely. It's so horrible. And again, this is reflected to the fact that so many, victims and survivors of abuse do blame themselves for what they've experienced, but it's really distressing to witness, to
Yeah.
see the fact that this place and the moment that in the place that he's in this moment, he actually believes that what's happened was his fault, and he should apologize to Nick for witnessing it.
Oh, it's mad. It really
But
is
Nick is
totally
so
mad.
lovely.
Oh, I know. I know. There is a
That's
little,
a nice bit.
yeah, definitely that little comedic moment at the end. Neither Charlie or Nick tell anyone about what happened. Is it pretty common for assaults like this to go unreported?
Oh, absolutely. We know that most sexual assaults and most kind of assaults in relationships don't go reported to the police. And there's
Yeah.
so many reasons for that. There's so many things that stop people from doing it, whether that's shame, embarrassment, or, possibly in this case, not actually recognizing that a crime's been committed. I wonder if Charlie really understands
I wondered
that this was,
that.
a sexual and a physical assault. I'm not sure he does.
Yeah, I
And
wondered that.
especially with, those maybe like sexual elements, that can be something that's really difficult for someone in a relationship to recognize that they've experienced things that aren't consensual,
Yeah.
because we're so programmed to think that in a relationship anything goes, or that you're just allowed to do things to each other even without consent. So yeah, that getting over that minefield of actually realizing something happened that wasn't right,
That's
is huge.
yeah, for sure. I also wondered whether it was to do with Ben still being in the closet. Like, Charlie's still fairly new to the queer community and trying to figure out where the boundaries are. And, you know, like, we all know that you should never out somebody, but there's definitely a line
Yes.
where you should absolutely out
100%.
somebody if they physically and sexually assault you.
Yes.
It's totally mad. But yeah, I wondered if that might have played a factor in it too. Does Charlie feel like he can't talk to people about it because Ben's still in the closet and he doesn't feel like he's the type of person that would ever out somebody?
Think that's a really good insight into what must be going on in Charlie's mind. And it's also, I think, reflective of that wider trend within abusive relationships of wanting to protect the person that's doing the harmful behavior. Because what makes domestic abuse so insidious is the person that's doing it is someone who you love and who says they love you. And that's so much worse. Charlie experiences bullying from lots of people. Lots of people say horrible things to him.
Yeah.
But it's not as hard as hearing it from someone who's supposed to love you.
Yeah, for
And
sure.
if you're trapped in that belief of actually just around the corner, he will love me properly, he is going to get to a place where he's going to be able to be with me properly, it's really difficult to get
Yeah.
to that point of actually saying this person does not love me, this is not loving behavior, and I'm going to do something about it.
Oh,
But I do think in this
definitely.
case I'm not sure that Charlie even realizes the extent to which something really bad has happened.
No, I know. And I'm sure that that's the case for lots of young people out there that experience things like this, that it doesn't cross their mind at the time that that actually is it's a pretty serious sexual assault.
Absolutely. And not even just young people, to be honest, adults as well, I guess, from my own working experience,
Yeah.
will experience things that are really awful. And in some countries, like in Scotland, for example, where we've criminalised coercive control, people don't realise that actually behaviour they've experienced isn't just horrible, it's also illegal.
Yeah, for sure. Should we move on to the next scene? The next time Ben and Charlie encounter each other is at Harry's birthday party. Charlie's wandering through the halls and he's looking a bit lost after Nick gets pulled away to talk to Tara. I almost forgot her name there, to talk to Tara. This scene is quite a menacing lighting combination. Like, I love the way that they play with light and colors in
Yes.
Heartstopper. It's great. Ben passes Charlie in the hallway and they brush shoulders with each other. Charlie apologizes as he turns, not realizing who it is that he's just bumped into. And he's surprised and can't speak when Ben says hello. Ben apologizes again for what happened and he asks Charlie if he's finished sulking about it. Like, that's horrendous. Like, I think that's terrible. Like, he committed this horrendous assault and he asks Charlie if he's finished sulking. Like, what's that all about?
Well, again, it's a minimizing tactic. And again, that's something that's designed to prevent Charlie from leaving the relationship because he's saying that actually wasn't that bad what happened to you.
Yeah,
So again,
he's downplaying
Charlie's
it.
then questioning his own sense of reality. And there's two angles there. So it's almost like it wasn't that bad. If it was bad, it was my fault. So regardless, there's never a case where Ben is someone who's done a bad thing, knew he did a bad thing, did it anyway, and it wasn't your fault. And I think what's interesting here as well is we see Charlie having almost like a bit of a trauma response when he sees Ben, because he goes into that
That's
frozen
right.
place where he can't speak. And we know that when people experience something really scary, our bodies react in all sorts of different ways to try and protect us. So we go into what's called the fight or flight response. Sometimes that doesn't work, and we then go into the freeze response and kind of shut down. And that can then be activated over time in lots of different situations. And we see that here, that Charlie just shuts down because he's scared. And they might not know that he's scared, but he is. And lots of people, especially when they experience that freeze response of shutting down, not being able to speak, not being able to respond, feel a lot of shame about it. And it's really important for people to know that there's nothing to be ashamed of. That is your body's trying to protect you, trying to keep you as safe as you can, trying to do its best.
Oh, it's so true. It's so
It is.
true.
Poor Charlie.
I know. He tries to walk away, telling Ben to leave him alone, and Ben grabs Charlie's arm and tries to pull him back. But Charlie finds some confidence within himself, and he shoves Ben against the wall and tells him not to touch him before walking away. Feels like it's quite important for Charlie that he was able to
Yes.
stand up for Ben.
Yeah, that he's able to stand. And again, it's, I guess we see him going from that freeze response, being frozen, not being able to do anything, to coming out of it, to being able to like actually know. And that moment will be really important for Charlie's recovery from this experience, that he was actually able to say, "No, you don't get to speak to me like that. No, you don't get to treat me like that."
Yes, for
And it's really
sure.
powerful to watch. It's such a satisfying moment, to see him just lay that down and be like, "Absolutely not."
Definitely, definitely. There's another confrontation between Ben and Charlie whenever he goes to the cinema. In episode 7, he goes to the cinema with Nick and some of the rugby boys. And Ben and Harry aren't supposed to be there, and they've turned up, and suddenly it's quite a high stakes situation for Charlie. It must be really hard to be in Charlie's position where he's not only at the same school as Ben and has to see him in the school hallways as they pass each other, but he keeps bumping into him outside of school as well. Like, that must be really hard.
Yeah, really difficult and really reflective of young people who've experienced harmful relationships, really reflective of their experience. Because especially when you're young, you don't have as much control about where you go and what you do. So if you've experienced abuse in a relationship with someone at school, you actually can't just decide never to see them again unless your parents
That's
are willing
right.
to move you schools. You have to see them all the time. And that is really, really, really difficult. And that affects your experience of school. It might affect your grades, it might affect your friendships. It's horrible. And a
Yeah, it
very
must be
trapped
terrible.
feeling.
Oh, definitely. Definitely that you just can't escape it. Like, they're everywhere you go. Like, it's horrendous. It must take its real toll.
So you've not got a choice to stop going to school. At least as an adult, you can decide to try and get a new job. I know
Yeah,
that
for
wouldn't necessarily be
sure.
easy, but you've got more choices and more things that you're in control. But as a teenager, there's very little really that you're in
Yeah.
control of.
It's hard. In the
It's
cinema, Nick
horrible.
and Charlie sit together, and Ben and two of his friends sit immediately behind them. A jump scare causes Nick to grab the armrest where Charlie's hand is. Charlie apologizes and moves his hand away, and Nick has a look around and then reaches out and holds Charlie's hand. Neither of them are aware that Ben is behind them, watching them, and can see what's going on. It gets quite hostile after the cinema, and Charlie leaves after a confrontation with Harry, the school's bully. And as he's walking through the car park, sinister music starts to play, and Ben appears from behind, quickly walking towards him. He calls out Charlie's name, and Charlie turns to face him, and he tells Charlie that he saw him and Nick holding hands and asks if they're going out together. Must be quite terrifying for Charlie to be in that
Really
position. Like,
scary.
he's just left like this really hostile situation, and then Ben is outside in the car park waiting for him. Like, it's horrendous.
It's so alarming, such a terrible and like really scary experience for Charlie to go from almost one kind of abuse to another, and he's so vulnerable in that scene. I'm not wouldn't be surprised if he was terrified.
Yeah, awful. Really, really bad. And again, this is a further escalation of Ben's verbal assaults, although this time it doesn't get physical. He's incredibly vicious whenever he starts to talk to Charlie. He's really upset by what he saw. Charlie denies that he's seeing or getting with Nick, and Ben tells him not to lie. He says that he believes that they're not going out together, as if anybody would want to go out with somebody as desperate as Charlie. He's so vicious.
Horrible.
Charlie reminds him that he did, that Ben did, and in another really vicious assault, Ben asks if he's joking. and says that Charlie was just there like some tragic loser with barely any friends who let bullies walk all over him, that he didn't like Charlie. He isn't even gay. He just felt sorry for him. Before Charlie can speak, his dad arrives, calling out to Charlie and asking if everything's okay, which ends their interaction. I almost feel like if Charlie's dad didn't arrive, that Charlie would have maybe had something to say back to Ben, you know?
I know what you mean.
That's a really horrendous verbal attack. Like, it was terrible to watch, really bad.
There is a bit of a sense that he's been cut off, that maybe he would have been able to respond, but he's kind of
Yeah.
left hanging, and he must have felt that, you know, whenever you've not been able to stand up for yourself, you've got that feeling, haven't you, of words unsaid that need to come out somehow. But yeah,
Yeah.
Ben's being absolutely horrendous here, and you can see him. Also, I guess when I watch, I can see the control of Ben is kind of slip of Charlie, sorry, is kind of slipping through his fingers.
Yeah,
And so he's
that's
just
right.
continuing to try and reassert that control by being absolutely horrible. But
Oh,
the thing is,
yeah.
Charlie's now got something to compare it to.
That's right.
He knows what it's like to be with someone who's actually lovely to him and treats him really well. And
Yeah.
he knows that someone does want to be with him.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons that Ben is so triggered by seeing Nick and Charlie
Yeah.
together. It's that he would never think of even sitting next to Charlie in a cinema, let alone holding his hand in front of like a group of the rugby lads. You know what I mean? It's totally, it doesn't even exist in the realm of possibility for Ben in his present, you know, psychological state. That's really triggering. Not only has he lost control of Charlie, but Charlie has now found a really positive person in his life, in Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's able to give him things that Ben was never going to be able to give him, because he's making Charlie feel really loved and taken care of, and they have fun together. And nothing about his relationship with Ben was fun.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you know somebody that's kind of in this situation themselves, or you believe a friend is maybe in an abusive relationship, what's the best way to respond? It's really hard to know. Like, we know that, like, Nick observed the assault that took place, and although he knows that Charlie has left that relationship now, at the time he didn't really do very much apart from be there for Charlie, but maybe that's all that's needed.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the best thing that you can do is just if you have a friend who's in that situation, is be there for them and give them the chance to talk about what's going on and how they're feeling about it. Because actually, in doing that, you're really undercutting what the Bens of this world do and trying to
Yeah.
make sure that they've got no outside perspective. So you can be, you know, when Nick sees that happen, Charlie almost has that experience of seeing Ben's behaviour through another set of eyes and actually being like, well, actually, this isn't okay. But also just think patience is really important. It can be really hard watching a friend go through an abusive relationship. And we know that lots of people who are in an abusive relationship will leave and go back a couple of times before they make it stick. So it's
Yeah,
dead
that's
important to
right.
not write your friends off and be like, oh, they're choosing that. Because they're not. The reason they're in that cycle is because the perpetrator's behavior, like we've talked about, is trapping them in that
That's right.
relationship. And they need to know that even if you might need to set a boundary for a little bit, that you're always going to be there to come, you'll always be there for them to come back to when they're ready, whenever that is. And I
Definitely.
think, also just think letting them know that it's not their fault. It's not their fault this is happening. And Nick does
Yeah.
that for Charlie, doesn't he? When, you know, when Charlie apologizes, Nick's very quick to be like, you don't have anything to apologize for. That's obviously
Yeah.
not your fault. Because it isn't.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the scene where I think it's cut between episodes 1 and 2 where Nick and Charlie are texting about what happened. And Nick is very quick to point out that that isn't, you know, that experience is horrendous, and, you know, offer support for Charlie. Even to have somebody to point out, well, actually, that what's happened to
That's
you
not
is
okay.
horrific,
Yeah,
is
that's not okay.
right, exactly, can mean a lot. It must be really hard to be a friend in that position where you
Yeah.
see your close friend going through
Of
this. And
course.
I imagine people get quite angry that their friend is doing this. It must be hard to kind of manage your own emotions and to kind of keep
I mean,
yourself in that space.
we can imagine how someone like Tao would have reacted if he actually knew what was going on in
Yes,
this relationship between Charlie and Ben, of course.
definitely.
And people sometimes do. I've seen that in my own working life. People have that urge of wanting to go and really aggressively challenge the person.
Yeah.
And actually, it's not the right thing to do, not just because you could get in trouble, but actually, it doesn't make things better for your friend.
Yeah.
Sometimes it makes things worse for your friend. And I guess what's really helpful to think about is that when someone's being abused in their relationship, all that control gets taken away from them. So what you don't want to do is jump in and be like, right, I'll take control now. Because
Yeah.
what's needed is for them to get a bit more control back of their own lives and start making their own choices
Yes.
and decide how they want to respond. So even though it's really tempting and you want to go up to that person and give them an absolute piece of your mind and tell them exactly how horrible you think they are, not be the right thing.
Yeah. The last interaction that we get between Charlie and Ben in series one in season one happens on sports day. So Charlie and Tao have had a falling out because of how things shaped up with Harry, and Tao got into a fight with him then, and Tao blamed Charlie a bit for what happened. And but they make up on sports day, and Charlie agrees to run the 200 meter sprint for him, and he ends up running next to Ben. When Ben sees Charlie, he laughs and asks if Charlie's obsessed with him. And they run the race with Charlie's friends cheering from the sideline. Charlie wins, of course. He's the fastest runner in the school. That's already well
Yeah,
established.
go Charlie.
I know. And then after he wins, he walks back towards Ben, who's lying in the grass. Standing over him, Charlie tells him that he doesn't get to have an opinion about what he does anymore. Ben threatens to tell people about his relationship with Nick again, back to the control. And Charlie asks Ben if he wants him to tell everyone about their relationship. He tells Ben that he wouldn't do that anyway because he's a decent person, and that he understands that Ben's still trying to figure himself out and figure out his sexuality, but it doesn't mean that he can treat him like crap just because he hates himself.
Yes.
And as Charlie tells Ben to leave him alone, a tear slips from Ben's eye and rolls down his
Yeah.
cheek. Another really important moment for Charlie, I think.
Yeah, it's so powerful. Like, as a scene, just even like the visuals of the fact that Ben's on the ground and Charlie's kind of
That's
standing over
right.
him, like the
That's
power has been
right.
flipped and Charlie's been able to take that power back. And I love
Yeah.
that line of, "You don't get to have an opinion on my life anymore," or something like that he says. It's so powerful of just saying, actually, you're not relevant. And Charlie's not going to run his life by Ben's rules anymore. He's going to make the rules for his own life. Just a very, and you can see that it's actually sinking in for Ben that he's lost this person.
Yeah.
Because and you hope that some of that will sink in, that actually this kind of behavior is not acceptable, and it's not a way to have a healthy relationship. A healthy,
Yeah,
happy
that's true.
relationship is a relationship of equals. It's not this big power dynamic that you need to cultivate.
Definitely, definitely. Are these kind of milestones important on that kind of abuse recovery journey that
Yeah.
people go on?
Well, that is obviously going to be a kind of personalized individual thing to the person. But I guess what we
Yeah.
see with Charlie is that importance of, like, he's getting his voice back, he's getting his power back, he's getting his sense of self back, of
Yeah.
being able to say, actually, he's a worthwhile person, he matters, he's not this desperate character that Ben's been painting. And again, going back to that idea of gaslighting that we saw earlier, he trusts his own judgment. And he's
Yes,
saying, you know, I
definitely.
see you. I see you for what you are. And I'm not playing, I'm not going along with it. He's running his own narrative. So that feels really, really powerful. And I guess, yeah, for most people, the first part of recovery from an abusive relationship is finding a way to step away from it, to leave the relationship. And that can be a long, slow process. And
Yeah,
then
for sure.
afterwards, there can still be impacts. So, for example, we see that represented here when Charlie and Nick get together. Charlie is really worried about asking Nick to be his boyfriend.
That's
And the reason
right.
he's so worried about that is because Ben has used that to attack him and tell him, "No one would want to be your boyfriend. I certainly don't want to be your boyfriend." Ugh. So he
Yeah.
brings that into this relationship because our early relationships shape our expectations for our subsequent relationship. So that, I guess, is an example of how the impact of being in a relationship like this can follow you around, and why it's so important that if you have been through something like this, to get some support, to find someone to talk to, whether that's a domestic abuse specialist organization, whether that's, you know, a school counselor or
Yeah.
another helping professional who can just actually talk to you about it and help you unpick and work out what's happened. Because a lot of the time in these kind of controlling relationships, they kind of sneak up on you. You know, if
That's
someone,
right.
if you know, if the first time that Charlie and Ben had gone on a date, what happened with the kind of forced kissing and the verbal assaults and the shoving had
Yeah.
happened, Charlie would not have stayed in that relationship because he'd have been like,
Definitely
"You're
not.
horrible." But it's because it begins well and then things start to change and the control starts to happen and the demeaning, the making him feel worthless starts to happen. So actually, there
That's
can be
right.
real help of just having someone to talk to help you work out what just happened? How did I get to that point? And having
Yeah.
that understanding of what's happened in the relationship and how it's affected your life.
Definitely, because it can happen over a very long period of time. It doesn't
It
happen
can.
over a week
Yeah.
or 2 weeks or a couple of months. It can happen over years, and all of a sudden
Yes.
you have this moment potentially, or people might have this moment where they have this like aha moment or this moment where they realize that what's happening isn't right.
I think it can go either way. I think some people do have those moments, and again, we see that here, potentially when Charlie sees his relationship through Nick's eyes and goes, oh wait, actually. And sometimes it can be a slow awareness of actually that sinking feeling of this isn't okay. And this, the sunk cost fallacy in this is real. Sometimes you will feel like when they've put huge amounts of time and effort into a relationship, they
That's
don't want to
right.
walk away. But actually, if someone's showing you who they are through abusive or controlling behavior, they're not making a commitment to change that behavior, and you are allowed to walk away from it, regardless of how much time and effort and money and whatever else it is that you put into the relationship.
Yeah, for sure. What tends to happen when people get in touch with these support organizations or these organizations that are there to help people out in these situations? Like that first time you pick up the phone, what tends to happen whenever you do that?
I guess they'd want to reassure you that the service is confidential, and that you're phoning and speaking to them, and they're not going to share what you see with anyone else unless they think a child, for example, is at risk. They'd probably want to know a little bit about what's been going on. They'd want to support you at your pace with what you wanted. So if you wanted to help leaving the relationship, they would find ways of helping you do that. So there's sort of refuges and women's aid groups and other organizations around the country that will provide practical support for people to leave abusive relationships if that's needed. And sometimes what's needed is just emotional support, to have someone to talk to and reassure you that you're doing okay, this is the right thing, and to, I guess, even just like to talk to help you work out what's happening in the relationship, because sometimes that is what you need, is just to be like, this is what's going on and I don't know what this is. Can you help me understand it?
Yeah, for
When you've got a bad
sure.
feeling but you don't quite know what to call it yet. And then especially for young people, just like we talked about, young people don't think that they're experiencing domestic abuse, because that doesn't sound like something that happens to you when you're 13, 14, 15 years old. It sounds like something that happens to adults. But what we see here is that it isn't. When I was preparing for this, I was looking up some statistics and I found some Safe Lives. Safe Lives are a domestic abuse advocacy organisation in the UK. And they had done a survey that found that 25% of girls and 18% of boys had experienced some kind of intimate partner abuse between the ages of 13 and 17. So it is
It's
really, really common.
such a huge number, isn't it?
It's a huge
20% of
number.
girls. It's mad.
25% of girls.
Oh my
That's a quarter.
goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 in 4. 1 in 4
18%
girls.
of boys had experienced these different harmful behaviors,
It's
and
one in
abusive
five.
behaviors in their relationships. It's not okay.
Yeah, it's mad that it's so common. Do you think it's important that story arcs like this exist in media that's directed towards young people?
Yeah, I think it's really important, because in this case, it's not just normalizing that abuse can happen in young people's relationships, it's also normalizing that abuse can happen in LGBT relationships and same-sex relationships. And that feels really significant as well for, Charlie as a male victim of abuse, that
That's
we don't
right.
see that narrative necessarily a lot,
Hardly ever.
and hardly ever. And so I hope I hope that helps people who maybe find themselves in a similar situation to know that actually that is what's happening. And that they can still reach out for help and reach out for support, and that it's not okay. And that they're not, I think there's a lot of shame that goes on with experiencing domestic abuse for anyone going through it, but there can be that element for men experiencing domestic abuse as well, that maybe they should have been able to stop it. They shouldn't have let themselves get in this situation. And it's
Yeah, for
good to see,
sure.
it's hard, but it's good to see that reflected on screen for all the people that need to see that, to have their own experiences validated. And I don't think that's just for young people. I think that's for the older people, people in their 30s and 40s and 50s that are watching it, reflecting on their early relationships or their current relationships, I don't know, and going, actually, wait, that isn't okay, is it? It's not right,
Yeah,
because it
for
isn't.
sure. Sometimes it's seeing it play out helps you identify it in
Yes.
your own relationship. You see it and you're like, oh my God, that happened to me, or that's happening to me. And it helps kind of put things into
100%.
context. And yeah, for sure.
We always view other people's lives differently. So most of us would never blame another person for going through abuse, but we might still blame ourselves if
That's
we were going
right.
through it. So it can be really helpful to see that happen to someone else. Not that we want other people to be harmed, but in a fictional setting like this, because even just seeing it reflected back at you can make you go, oh, actually, wait, that wasn't my fault, was it? Because it's not.
Definitely, definitely. It's interesting because we know that the character Ben doesn't appear in the books after the first book, but
Okay.
he has been confirmed as a character in season 2. So I'm kind
Oh,
of curious
interesting.
what the future has in store for Ben and Charlie. whether Ben's behavior will continue, or will we see his relationship with his girlfriend? Now he has a girlfriend. Will we see more of that relationship? Like, what do you think?
I mean, I'm fascinated to find out. I mean, I think I only realized this week they were making another season, so I'm dead excited to
Oh,
watch and learn a
what?
bit more.
Where have
I'm
you
sorry.
been? That's terrible.
I've not been listening to the podcast enough, clearly. But I'm really excited, and it will be interesting to see what they do with it. Will Ben realize that this behavior is not acceptable, and actually he needs to get some support himself to address the fact that he's treating people so horribly? Because people
Definitely.
are capable of change, or will he continue to be horrible? It remains to be seen.
It's hard to know. Alice, the author of the books, has said, although she hopes that Ben does get support at some stage, and I know it's funny that we talk about these fictional characters as if they're real people. And I do too. I hope that Ben gets some support and is able to work through his internalized homophobia and get to a point where he can have a healthy relationship and has a healthier relationship with himself. But I don't know that Charlie necessarily should have to witness that or be involved in it,
No.
where he gets like this kind of redemption arc where Ben apologizes and they become buddies almost. Like, I definitely don't think Charlie should be in a position where he has to listen to an apology from Ben. I don't think Ben deserves that.
I think that is an interesting point, isn't it? But I think with an apology in general, sometimes it's that question of who's an apology for?
That's
Because sometimes an apology is
right.
about making the person who's caused the harm feel better, but actually doesn't make the person who experienced the harm feel better. So while we can acknowledge that people who do harmful things should get support so they can address that, address why they're doing that, and stop, that doesn't mean the person who's been victimized by them has to help.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, it's good that we agree. Well, there's only
I
two of us here and we agree, so it must be the right
it
thing.
must be good. What was your favorite thing about Heartstopper?
Do you know, I just rewatching sort of this week, I think my favorite thing is seeing someone go from being treated so horribly to seeing that a healthy, wonderful relationship is possible for them. And I particularly love the scenes where Nick stands up for Charlie.
Yes,
Like, there's
he's
something
that
so
hero
wonderful about
trope.
that. Yeah, and I know it's a bit of a like you're saying, it's a bit of a trope, isn't it? You're having a horrible time and someone sweeps in and saves the day, but it's still wonderful to watch, this boy being so
Definitely.
nice to Charlie and being, when Charlie's had this experience of being kept a secret and being treated so badly, actually he's with someone who wants to stand up for him in public and who's willing to take quite a lot of social flack to stand
Yeah,
up for
that's
him. You know, he's
right.
one of the popular kids who challenges his own friends,
Yeah,
and
that's
then
right.
Is willing to go on this journey, this like exploring sexuality, coming out journey for Charlie because he thinks Charlie's so great. That's what I
Yeah,
love.
for
It's like finding
sure.
someone who like values him for who he is. And I
That's
just hope
it.
that gives a message to queer teens everywhere that you can find that. It might not be when you're this age, it might take a little bit longer, which is also fine. But like everyone is capable of finding this happy, healthy relationship, and you certainly don't have to feel like all you deserve or all you're ever going to get is to be kept someone's dirty little secret. Absolutely not.
Oh, I
We're not having
know.
that.
Oh, for sure. Paula, thanks so much for coming on as a guest and sharing in this
Always
experience with
delightful.
us. Don't forget, listeners, that we've left some information in the show notes. If you feel like you'd like to chat to somebody, after listening, if you've been affected by anything we've said.
Yeah, I guess I just want to reinforce that if you've experienced anything like what Charlie experiences in Heartstopper, it is not your fault. You were not to blame from that, and you deserved so much better. If it has brought a lot up for you, it might be helpful now to do something just to look after yourself, whether that's eating something really delicious, going for a nice bath, chatting to a friend, anything that you know is going to make yourself feel better. This is a tough topic. So in whatever way you've been impacted by this, just take some time out to do something nice for yourself and look after you.
Oh, that's so nice. Thanks so much, Paula.
Totally fine.
Thanks. Thanks so much for coming on and being a guest with us. This was an episode that, it was kind of on the back burner for a while. I think
Yes.
you've done a really good job. It's been
I'm glad.
really good to talk through it.
It's been good, yeah.
Definitely. We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners, and got something out of it. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and to follow us on Instagram at Proper Full On Gay Podcast. And we've got a really great episode coming up in 2 weeks' time. Shout out Ireland is back with us. Shout Out Ireland is a great organisation that works across the island of Ireland to combat homophobia in schools, colleges and workplaces. So we've got an episode themed around Tao and Harry's story arc, which is going to be really good. So that's coming up in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, yeah, go back and listen to a few of our past episodes. And it's time to say goodbye, Paula, to the listeners.
Goodbye. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to get the chance to come and talk about domestic abuse, in particular abuse that can happen in LGBT relationships and in young people's relationships. So thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I'm so lucky that I've got such brilliant partners to work with. We've got 5 national partners that we work with on the show. The show just wouldn't exist without them, I swear. It just wouldn't exist. You guys always turn up and you always do such an amazing job. I'm truly, truly grateful. And yeah, thanks so much, listeners, for tuning in. We hope you have a good couple of weeks and we'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
This episode was brought to you by Shut Up and Listen in partnership with LGBT Youth Scotland. You can find out more about the show and the partners we work with at properfullongaypodcast.com, follow us on social media at properfullongaypodcast, and discover our other shows at shutup.world.